lost your memories.
There they are.
There's three. We got three. I don't know if we got the right three. It's on their box.
The township aids language, I don't think we have that yet. We had testimony on that earlier today. How about the Winona sales tax? We had some testimony on that earlier today.
Move that motion. And that was in whose bill?
Senate bill.
The Representative Lencheski moves the
Senate
position on the Winona sales tax.
We might want to wait a little bit. I don't know if you want to debate that motion right now. Well, yes. I don't know, you know.
They did respond to our question.
On the Lencheski motion to adopt the Senate position on the Winona local option sales tax. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Madam Chair, we had a discussion about the Vikings today. Was that last night or today? Today? Somebody know? Was it last night?
It's tomorrow now.
I think it was last night. Just looking for.
Thanks. You're so nice. Thank you. I was looking for water and there it goes. Thank you.
So Michael, where am I going to find the Viking sales tax study? It's in the back.
I don't have my bill like that.
Here's the bill.
Yeah, it's on the very last. It's
in the last.
It's the last page.
It's like literally.
84.
Where is it, Ben?
284.
Yeah.
Senator Marty moves to delete section 16, the Minnesota Football Stadium Task Force.
Article 15, section.
Section, Article 15, section 16, on page 284. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Members, I just want to say on that, we had, the chair can count, and I could see last night people had some real apprehension about moving forward with legislators and some kind of a stadium task force. But I just want everybody to kind of be aware, I think. I don't think this issue is going to go away. This issue is going to be in front of us next year, and I hope that the Metropolitan Sports Commission does some work over this during the interim. I'm willing to participate at some level because I think we're kidding ourselves if we think this issue is just going to go away because we're not going to appoint some kind of a subcommittee to work on it. So I think we all need to be aware of that, but I sense quite a bit of apprehension on the part of the members, so I think for now, I guess I, as the tax chair, would like to just give some advice to the Sports Commission, and that would be, I think it would be helpful if they could do some work on this issue over the interim so that when next February comes or March or whenever we come back here, we've got some information to work off of in the event there's a bill on the issue of a new football stadium. So just want to get that on the record, because I don't think this is the end of the discussion. Utility class rate change I wrote on my list. Do we have that, Sean? Who has that?
We can
Karen.
Get that.
It's just to go to the Senate bill.
Karen, you were working. Do we have that? Class rate change with the rate recovery?
No.
Yeah, we don't.
Okay, well, we don't have to do it right now.
Take the gift tax.
Where do we, Mr. Michael, where do we have the What do we call it?
Gifts and Contemplations of Death.
Yeah, it's, Mr. Chair, it's not, you adopted that as adopting the House position, so you essentially just want to reverse that and delete the addition of that to the bill. It's not, doesn't show up in the bill.
No, but it's in the side-by-side true place. Under income tax, you're both?
I know, it's under special tax.
Special tax.
Special. Article 9.
70.
Representative Lencheski moves, starting on page 70 of the side-by-side, to reconsider a motion by which Article 9, Section 1 and Section 2 were adopted. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. And we have it in. Senator Representative Lencheski moves to delete House on the side-by-side, page 70, Article 9, Section 1 and Section 2. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Sonoma sales tax. Representative Hilty.
Yes.
Had some issues with our apprenticeship language that we had in the bill, so we are gonna, believe, Madam Chair, do we have an amendment to narrow the language that exempts apprenticeship and training facilities from property taxes to accommodate some concerns in communities that have kind of small taxing jurisdictions?
Senator Bog, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank you for accommodating Representative Hilty's concern. I think it's fair to say, and I know Representative Hilty knows this, that both the House author, Representative Solbert, and Senate author, you, Senator Bog, did not know it would have this effect of losing some tax base in his community and the way it did, and the staff has come up with a way to assist in that, and we appreciate Chairman Bog that you've got this willingness to make this change to your own bill.
Representative Lencheski moves the A26 amendment. And members, what this does is, there are apparently some of these small apprenticeship training facilities around the state that are in some pretty small taxing jurisdictions. This takes them out of the property tax exemption. So if there's a training facility in a real small town, maybe a large part of that community's tax base, if the town is under 10,000 people, this property tax exemption would not apply. So it protects communities with real small tax capacity at the request of Representative Hilty, and I think he's raised a good issue. On the Lencheski motion to adopt A26, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Do we have Thompson West? There's an addition to Thompson West language. Do we have Thompson West? Okay.
Long way. Dan's, long way.
Senator Larson, do you have some language on the?
Yes. A12 amendment.
Airport runway issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a provision that relates to zoning and safety at our MSP airport. When we related the taxable and non-taxable parcels that surround the runways. When we decided to keep the airport in its current location, there's sort of a disagreement among the experts in Minnesota about whether we have a safe circumstance. And this just attempts to study it, took much of the controversy out of the conversation when we just agreed to get all the parties together and study it.
No. Senator Larson moves to A12. Any questions, members? Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Larson, or to everybody here, Just the task force, or you've added the safety and the task force together?
That's right.
Okay, I see. You know, people should know that Senator Larson has been a real leader in our area on this issue. We have some very serious concerns. Senator Larson has, we've had issues come up as to how these runways are positioned over our community, and I just want to thank Senator Larson. I'm just seeing the language now. Senator Bach talked to me about it, and I actually thought it was a little bit a different bill. So this is a great bill, and Senator Larson knows what I'm talking about. We have a lot of issues, those of us who live next to airports, and this is, of course, our biggest airport, so I really appreciate it being brought forward.
Senator Larson, anything more?
The only thing I'd add, members, is when we decided to keep the runway or the airport where it is, you know, ultimately it's our responsibility that it's a safe facility. This just says we're going to take an extra look at it because the experts can't seem to agree. So that we feel comfortable. And we limit it just to the MSP.
Senator
Mont.
Mr. Chair, I have to say that when Senator Larson's initial bill was introduced, first of all, you know, I have the unique issue of the St. Paul Airport, and many of you have heard about it with our neighborhood's concerns, and so we are not strangers in terms of our interactions with the MAC and airport concerns. And when I initially saw Senator Larson's bill, I went to talk to him about it because it was one of those where you love it, but it has implications. And I just have to say that Senator Larson has just been tremendously accommodating and willing to take a look at this and willing to narrow down the study. But I know that my community will benefit from the result of this study because the very issues that that led to Senator Larson putting his bill together and study group together are issues of neighborhoods and communities and how they live with the MAC, given all the other stuff. And so I think this is a really great idea. I voted for it in the Transportation Committee, and I hope that we can get it into the bill.
On the Larson motion to adopt the A-12, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. A-12 is adopted.
You're right. You're right as usual.
We got a few things that aren't quite ready yet, amendment-wise. Representative Lincheski moves the House ATV gas tax language.
Yes. Remember that is on the side-by-side.
Where do we have that, Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chair, I can explain it while it's found. Representative Doty and Representative Hackbarth in the House worked on this bipartisanly. And it came through in the House in the environment bill. Don't know how. The tax committee took it out on the House side. We generally see it carried in the transportation bill on the House side. We made a commitment to everybody in transportation and Representative Leader, we would deal with it in the tax bill. That's what we're doing now because the transportation bill had left at the time the tax conferees took it out of the environment bill. So that's how it ended up here. I don't know what the Senate normally does, but the House, we normally would have this as a transportation item, but it's a tax issue, and it's not it's out of the gas tax. So that's why it's normally in the transportation bill on the House side, but we were past that point. So that's why we are carrying it, and I move that House language now.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski, my concern about it is that the study that this is based on was done, the department had two questions asked in the study, and the first half suggests we should increase it. If they tallied the second half, it suggests we should have lowered it. And given the fact that our highway trust fund is pretty short right now, taking out more based on a half-completed study, I just don't think that's justifiable. I think if you look at the full study, it would suggest we should be reducing the amount. Last year, the Senate looked at both sides of it and concluded rather than fight more on it, they compromised by leaving what it was. That's where the Senate's no provision would leave us. I understand the desire to put more money into that, but I, that's a decision we should make because we want to fund it. We shouldn't use the gas tax that way. I just don't think it's justifiable.
On the Lincheski motion, page 73 of the side-by-side, Representative Lincheski moves Article 9, we adopt Section 7. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Thompson West, I think, is ready.
Mr. Chair, on the previously adopted amendment, DV 94, the appropriate amendment would be to add on line 6 after in the following, and Capital Equipment Incorporated.
And members, what and the chair will make that motion, the oral amendment. Members, what that does is in the bill we provide for a refund of the sales tax on the construction materials for the Thompson West construction, and this would allow in the data processing capital equipment. Council, is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bevy.
Thank you. I'm just wondering about the, since this is capital equipment, help me with this. We offer a sales tax refund for the purchase of capital equipment for all businesses.
For manufacturing.
For manufacturing, thank you. I apologize, that's what I intended. Does this put Thompson West in line ahead of manufacturing at the same point, back of the line? I mean, how does this, how does the Boker's washer stamping business in my district compare to Thompson West in terms of sales tax refund on capital equipment?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, the definition of capital equipment right now includes this data processing equipment. There was actually an exemption put in, but like most capital equipment, it's only if it is purchased by the user. So when we've allowed construction exemptions, we've normally also included the capital equipment to say your contractor purchases of capital equipment will also be exempt. So when we've done other manufacturing facilities, so we're treating Thompson West exactly the way we've treated ag processing facilities that we've given a construction exemption. We're allowing them to essentially do a turnkey project. So their contractor can buy the capital equipment. If they buy the capital equipment, it would be themselves, it would be exempt right now.
And on an equal status, Mr. Chair, Ms. Dalton, on an equal status with everybody else. So as long as the department continues the practice of waiting until they've got $50 million in refunds, Thompson West is sitting there waiting just like everybody else.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, because of this delay that they've got to show that they've actually employed the people, they're going to be waiting longer.
Checking to make sure we're treating everyone equally. Thank you.
Representative Carlson. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's Dalton or whoever. How much, I know we're not tracking any money because it doesn't kick in for several years, but how much is the expected expense of this as opposed to the building? Is this double it or a third more? Or?
I think roughly, Senator Marty, I believe the construction materials was about $3 million and, or $6 million, and this adds about $3 million. So it brings the total in the bill to about a $9 million refund, I believe. On the chair's motion to adopt the oral amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Utility class rate. Ms. Baker, do we have that yet? If we don't, just say no.
Oh, we got plenty more.
It'll be in
momentarily. They have a lot.
What about the 1099 delay?
Yeah, we did talk.
We can do it orally.
Mr. Manson, we talked about on the 1099 study, or was it a report you were doing?
The 1-year delay.
Mr. Chairman, it would be a new requirement for those that issue 1099s for federal purposes that at that same time they send a copy to us. And our focus right now is on doing more with the electronic W-2s. We're working on that. And we're also adding the construction contractor withholding. So we'd prefer to just wait a little bit on that piece of it because we don't want to design a system where we can't really quite use the information yet. So I talked to both you and Representative Lancheski about extending that.
Mr. Michael, what would we have to do to give the department one more year before we implement that?
Mr. Chairman, on the bill on page 71, page 13, which is on the second unofficial enrollment, delete 2007 and insert, if you want to make it 2008 or 2009, depending upon if you want to give them 1 or 2 years.
You want 1 or 2.
Representative Lancheski moves delete 2007, insert 2008.
That's right, and it's page 71, line 13. Yes. Insert 2008.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion passed. That I didn't have on my list, Madam Chair, and I was supposed to have it on there.
Cracks kind of paying attention. Evidence.
Do you have any? Do you have a list, Madam Chair, or is it just me?
I just thrown on your list.
I'm waiting for some job.
Did it together.
Waiting for some job Z language, and waiting for some language on township aids and utility class rates.
Says we can check.
Here comes Joanne, right?
Check. I thought
that was
check.
Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the RER 16 amendment.
What do I do then? Motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chair, the RER 16 amendment is a statutory authorization for the City of St. Paul by resolution of the City Council to levy up to a 3% food and beverage tax.
On this, yeah. I'm just wondering if sales tax is the right word.
Lodging. Christmas Dalton. Can Miss Dalton pick X?
This isn't a lodging.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
liquor, lodging, and restaurants. City
so this,
of St.
there's
Paul.
Not a referendum required.
In addition, not on beverage
it's
and.
On the general
is this the beverage and. It's not
food
on these.
Beverage, yeah.
Food and beverage. It's just like Duluth for the convention center. Let's have her just take a look. That way people will be clear.
Grab something.
Senator Buck, I guess I'd like to question what
what the intentions are here. I assume this is a 3% on top of the 6.5% that we have right now. So what will be the intention of the revenue off of this, Senator Mao?
Okay. Mr. Chair and Representative Simpson, my thought is that on our local option sale, St. Paul has it dedicated towards debt relief. And what I would like to do with this is just provide some options to my city council, because ultimately they have to approve of it for a use, but this will be a general use to the city. But it will be subject to city council approval up to that amount. And so if my city council decides that that's not something that they want to exercise, then they don't have to do it. But I want to provide the statutory authority.
Senator Bob.
Representative Simpson.
And would there be a referendum on this, or is this just something that the city council has a decision to make? Yeah.
Well, I think Representative Simpson, there's not one required in law for beverage,
okay.
Food and beverage.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
Not, it's not required. We could require one, but it's not required under law. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I have the same concern I had about local option sales taxes this morning in terms of what that means to different communities across the state. But the basic question I have, how much revenue does this raise then?
Could we call it? Not a lot, Mr. Chair and Representative. The estimate that we have, and we don't have a lot of restaurants. If you did the full 3%, I think it's like 8 million or something like that, citywide. So we don't have a lot of restaurants. It's not like Minneapolis with the downtown area.
I usually talk biennium, so are we talking?
Yeah, annually.
16 for the biennium?
No, annual. Right.
Which?
Correct, 16.
16.
Eight annually.
Senator Marty. Mr. Chair, Senator Moi, just a process question. Where did this come from? I haven't seen this. Was this a bill?
Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, it wasn't a bill, and I never intended to do something like this, but as the process went, you know, the Senate came into the conference committee with $150 million in LGA, and, you know, given our constraints, I know that we worked really, really hard to try to get what we can out of it, but, you know, we have other forces that dictates what we can do, and we're constrained in resources right now. Level. And so if my city has suffered lots and lots and lots of cuts, we have suffered double digits in property taxes, and I'm going to have to deliver some more news that we're facing either cutting our already very, very thin resources or raise property taxes. And I guess I just want to provide an option for my city to consider. And if they don't like it, they choose not to exercise it. But I think that I'd like to just offer the option.
Anything else, members? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, if the idea is to offset
Carlson.
The loss of LGA, I have cities that have had the same loss. And as I said this morning when we were talking about local option sales tax, you know, this is an issue where we really should be trying to create a level playing field between communities. And you allow one to offset their losses with the local option sales tax, and others are not, I think it's pretty problematic. No tax should be raised, in my view, as I said before, generally across the state, and then redistributed in an equitable way to all communities. Especially when we're talking about things like replacing LGA.
Anything else, members? On the Moi motion to adopt RER 16. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chair, you probably do need an author's an additional amendment that just basically says that they can use it for whatever they can use general fund money for. It's
do that now. Then they can get it drafted tonight. This is a technical.
Can we work on?
Can you just
I mean, it's.
Sure, I'll incorporate that into my amendment.
I think we better have
one.
Okay.
We need to make changes.
We've got
better to get it done.
References.
We've got
that. We're just concerned about the language. Thank you.
Dalton, can you work on? Okay.
So. She was just trying to tell me.
Council, job Z.
I'm just going to get their copy so they look at it.
That's that easy.
Madam Chair, why don't we take a 5-minute recess? We've got a couple of amendments that Ms. Zoff drafted that are actually being copied for us. So why don't we take a little 5-minute recess? I'll fill my coffee cup. Others can get something to drink. It's kind of warm in here. Terribly warm. Members will recess for let's try to keep it 5 minutes if we can. Reconvene, members.
Sorry.
Senate Council has a few amendments for us. Members, Senator Skoy moves to A-27. Members, what this is this is some language that I've negotiated with the governor on job Z. The prevailing wage language I didn't talk to him about, but that is makes it clear that prevailing wage applies to job Z projects. That's the current interpretation of the job Z program and deed. There's an attorney general's opinion stating that it applies. That part we didn't talk about, but that just clarifies the current practice at deed. The provision in here, I came to an agreement with the governor on job Z for the new projects, the projects under the current law that have like 6 years left on them. They're gonna just stay with current law. They can happen anywhere in the state outside of the 7-county metropolitan area. But for any of the new projects that happen between now and when the job Z program terminates, that are going to get a 10-year job Z advantage, or whatever we call it, which is the governor's language. We've tightened up the language in the law so that the projects that qualify for the governor's new extension cannot happen in the 11-county metropolitan area, and they cannot happen in a city of a population of 50,000 or more, or in a city that is contiguous to a 50,000 population city. So if a city, and the example I use is St. Cloud and Waite Park. There are cities that butt each other. St. Cloud is out because of the 50,000 threshold. The city of Waite Park, because it is an adjoining city, it shares a municipal boundary, it's out by default. And the other cities that the exclusion does not apply to is a city that is adjacent to another state. So our border cities would all, no matter what their population is, would allow to be allowed to have job seats.
Extension.
We allow to have the extension under the new provisions. So this is, I think, Madam Chair, some pretty good language that I think gets back to more of the original intent of the Jobs Deep program. And this is something that I worked along with Deed with all this tightening language, and appreciate us support Senator Scoy's motion on the A27. All in favor, signify.
And for people who are following this issue, also we took all the House tightening language, and I just want to, Senator Bach, I appreciate, you know, we all worked on this, but you carried the weight on it. I do want to just mention that folks should be aware we are trying to be as accommodating as we can to the governor, and we whipped past the taking out the gift and contemplation of death. That was the governor's request. We've done that. We had another one already, and Senator Bach has gone a long way to accommodate some needs for the government, governor, and people should know that. And the governor has come our way in tightening some restrictions and building some accountability. And so these are not unilateral decisions going on. Everybody should know that these things have a lot of work's going into all these provisions. So.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. The A27 is adopted. Council, what else do we have? Utility class rate changes. Senator Marty moves the RER 19 amendment.
Good.
Members, what this does is it adopts the Senate language on the utility class rate changes and allows the utilities to seek cost recovery from the PUC. And the cost recovery was a request of the governor that if we're going to go ahead with this class rate change, that I'm not going to say the governor necessarily supports this approach, but with cost recovery, I think there's less opposition to it. Madam Chair, just being clear, the class rate changes will phase in along in the same timeline as the rule changes that the department recently went through. So, Representative Lanchesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to be clear on the House. Our vice chair actually cares deeply about this and will be disappointed by this. There's a lot to help her, but I want to make it clear so people understand that this is accommodating the governor. And I think Senator Bach, again, House was one place, the governor was another. We're moving more to the Senate at the middle ground. But we were given a list, Senator Bach and I, on issues that had to be worked through in this tax bill to withstand a veto. And this is another one that we've worked a lot of time in with Commissioner Ines to get through, and appreciate the work on this, Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair, we just need to be careful to say that I don't believe the governor supports
all
the language in this amendment. But there is much less opposition to it than other provision than the provision in the Senate bill or in the House bill.
That's right.
This is coming in I would say it would be fair to say it comes in the governor's direction, although
yes.
It doesn't get them all where they'd like to be, probably.
Yes, and I should clarify that, because this was a list of things that we needed to work on, and we've had significant movement in all but one, I believe, on the list, and we think this will work, and we worked with Commissioner Ines. You know, Senator Bach, may I just, before we vote, Representative Marquardt just got a good idea from staff that if he can just take 1 second on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing we've been trying to do is keep everyone kind of held harmless when they lose the tax base. And something we had in the House file 2362, Article 2, Sections 10 and 11, would, when calculating school aids and levy, and when calculating like city aids and levy, you would recognize, you'd eliminate the one-year lag. You would recognize it right away. And that would be a way in which when we're kind of moving to what we're doing, it would help hold cities harmless a little bit. And Mr. Hines, if he could maybe just a minute respond to that, would that be?
Maybe take it later.
Or we could take it after this, but I think it would be a good compromise for those cities that are going to lose that tax base. You just recognize a year early, eliminate the lag, like for LG and that, you would notice that tax base drop and they'd get the local government aid.
Mr. Hines?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This would basically... The law says that when you change a class rate, normally when the value you use to equalize aid formulas uses the year before tax base because it's got to get adjusted by the sales ratio. So we're always a year behind on our tax base. But we have in law that if we change a class rate, we use the class rate that's going to be in effect in the year the aid is given to sort of acknowledge that there'll be this different tax base there. And so in the House bill, what we had done is say, because this rule, this utility rule is something more like a class rate change, let's build in the effect of that rule change 1 year early when it comes to aid calculations. So this only affects aid calculations, not levy, except that school aid and levies are kind of linked. But now that was our provision to help those cities deal with the loss from the utility rule.
And Mr. Chair, it would only refer to this rule change only.
Correct.
Not anything else, only this utility rule change.
Representative Markler, how about if we adopt this and then you could work on an amendment or what would
yeah,
you like?
Yeah, adopt
work on an amendment. I think it makes some sense to do what you're suggesting. I think we got one or two other amendments, and then we're going to take another little recess. Maybe you can work on some language. I think that makes sense.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? On Senator Marty's motion on RER 19, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
Motion prevails.
IPC. Two townships first.
The chair moves to A29. Members, this amendment does a couple of things. A29.
Which one is this?
This is the ITC.
Oh, no.
Put him here first.
He's in the
here.
We don't have
any.
Oh, they're on our side.
Yeah.
They're on your side?
Oh, we don't have
them.
Yeah,
A29.
Yeah, I got it.
Everybody have the A29?
Yep.
Did we not have it?
This is.
Mm-hmm. He's back.
This is amending the section that the.
Oh, it's his source.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is just to get this part across.
Right. But the issue is which comes first? This amendment, they both are number five, and it's like an order of priority.
Some local match. Some part of it. Yeah.
So the question
somewhere
is does
somewhere.
The money go into the 21st?
It always is.
First, or into the. Volatility reduction
goes into the 21st fund.
That's what I thought you were answering.
Do we need to make a change?
Well, you just didn't say that. We'll do it.
Say it into the mic.
Chair renews his motion on A29. Members, what this does is it sets the budget reserve at $803 million, which is a $150 million increase, which is what our agreement is on the spreadsheet. And in negotiations with the governor today, this amendment also deletes from the bill the provisions that repeal the investment tax credit that the mines on the range get. There was a provision in the bill that had a six-year phase-out of something called the investment tax credit. So it deletes that from the bill. That, members, also was something that the governor had indicated could potentially veto this bill. So I'm offering to take it out of the bill. And the third thing that it does is it says, in the event that there's a budget surplus in the November forecast, it takes the first $22.3 million and puts it into the 21st Century Minerals Fund at deed. And members, what that does is, with money that was appropriated to the 21st Century Minerals Fund last year, the money that's in Senator Tomasoni's bill this year, and this amount in this amendment will, in total, replace the $49 million that was taken from the fund during the budget crisis of 2003, providing there is a surplus in November. I think we all hope that there is, or we're going to be facing big problems here next winter.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lincheski.
And if I may, I just want to say that I know that Senator Bach was also working very hard with Representative Rukavina, governor's office, throughout this, and I don't think he's here now, but you've all agreed, and this is how it's got to be.
On the A29, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
Motion prevails. A29 is adopted. I have left on my list, Madam Chair, township aides, and I believe we don't quite have that yet. We're still working on that. We have the motion. Okay, we'll need. And we need to work on a motion for some federal conformity language, I think we want to consider. And Representative Marquardt is going to work on some language on the utility class rate change.
Yep, I've got that going right now.
So we got the class rate change, the conformity, the township aides. And Representative Simpson, you have something you want to move or something you want to work on? Or
I have a couple things we're working on. One is the egg, some of the egg and dairy things. And then I have a TIF amendment.
Okay,
also.
Do we have the... Do we need some language on the egg? And we need some language on all the egg stuff that we talked about.
That's just spreadsheet stuff, isn't it?
No, we need some language.
We need some language.
That.
We have some of it's in the House bill. We can move part of it. We have the dairy language.
Yeah, we'd have to pull it out of the deal, wouldn't it?
Can
I make a suggestion?
Yep.
Staff has a lot to do tonight.
Yep.
Can the conference committee adopt amendments off members' bills? Can we do that and have them work on the language? For example, on this item, we've got Representative Erdahl's bill with a few changes makes it work. I don't know if this is if the Senate's open this. In the House, we do this all the time. We let people offer amendments as a bill. What do you think about that? Otherwise, we're going to have to spend more time drafting.
Do you have a bill number?
I can actually just
she can do
photocopy
this now.
The three pages marked up so you can see what the language would look like.
What's your thought?
Representative Simpson, are you okay with that?
That's
or?
Fine. I don't have a problem.
We'll do that. That'll take a little save a lot.
Maybe while, Madam Chair, I saw Representative Lilly here.
Yes.
Sitting very patiently.
Well, there he is.
Representative Lilly, why don't you come to the table and... Help the Senate out here. Help the Senate convince the House that the North St. Paul TIF is something we should do.
signed with Joel in the city. So. No, that's fine.
Madam Chair, go ahead.
You know, and I want to tell you, Representative Lilly has done an incredible job fighting for this issue for his city, as is your senator. And we had a TIF working group on our side. We didn't put it in. Representative Lilly continues to fight, and he's working hard. He's been working hard all night. And he has met with Mr. Michael. And we've realized we've got some issues that we can help North St. Paul with. But it looks like it's not things we can do now. But Representative Lilly wants to work with his city staff and Mr. Michael and others to come up with a tighter proposal for us next year. And I want to do that, too. And I know Senator Wieger cares about this a lot. But if we can have Representative Lilly just tell us a little bit about what matters to him here, it would take a minute of the committee's time.
Representative Lilly, the Senate, there are members of the Senate Conference Committee that frequently enjoy pizza in North St. Paul at Village Pizza.
Yes, sir.
And we had a very good discussion about how good the Village Pizzeria is on. Is that on, so what's the street, 7th?
Main Street, yes, sir.
In North St. Paul.
Yep.
So tell us a little something about the North St. Paul TIF and the discussions maybe you've had with the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Madam Chair, I'm not sure how that works, but and members. I did have an opportunity to meet with Representative Lucheski, and I am comfortable, I think, at this point to take her advice and to work on the project and to hone our proposal and come back fresh next spring. So thank you very much for recognizing me. And but, yes, we'll hook you up with some pizza.
Up with some language,
if I'd have known, I'd brought some. If I perhaps I should have been bringing that earlier.
We're going to get him some LGA.
You would have made some people very happy here because Senator Wieger was told we like Village Pizza 3 months ago. In this room. And
didn't bring any?
That's right.
Deliver.
Perhaps, Mr. Chair and members, that was the problem. And and I think that I will do a better job of listening. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's his sales tax and Dean. Thank you. That's Dean and Rod. Dean and you guys together.
You can do it. That's fine. Whatever.
Senator Wieger had a representation committee meeting in my district, though, I have to say.
This is a sales tax exemption for a number of materials used in agricultural production.
That's correct.
Representative Simpson, why don't you tell us what we're doing here?
I think I need to find my other list, Mr. Chairman.
Well, maybe.
Well,
Ms. Dalton, why don't you get us started while Representative Simpson is working on it?
I was going to say, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is coming out of Representative Erdahl's bill, but we've changed some of the dates. Section 2 is the language that just changes the fuel used in heating and cooling facilities for housing agricultural animals. There's no cost to this one. And if you turn to the next page, at the top of it, it exempts interior crates, partitions, calf hutches, cow mats, mattresses, syringes used in livestock. However, we are striking the language related to building materials, and we're making we are eliminating the retroactive effective date and just making it the standard June after June 30th, 2007. Section 3 on that page includes tires now in the exemption for repair and replacement parts, and this is farm tires and logging equipment tires. And then the very last section, again, we're eliminating the retroactive effective date. And then the last section provides a sales tax exemption for fencing of livestock. And again, without a retroactive effective date.
Representative Simpson moves HO 158-1 as described by Ms. Dalton. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Simpson and I have been working on this We think it's important for agriculture, particularly animal agriculture, and these provisions all are pretty much related to animal agriculture. We recognize the importance of that and worked hard. I appreciate the committee's considering this request and would hope that you would adopt the 1581 amendment.
Representative Simpson.
And to that point, I think Ms. Dalton described it as well as she could off of this sheet. I apologize for not getting it drafted a little better than this, but I think you follow the gist of where we're going, and as Senator Scoy said, I think this is good for our agriculture area and our livestock, so I'd appreciate the support.
And this, members, is a ongoing sales tax exemption, so there is tails to this issue.
That is correct.
All in favor of the Simpson motion, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Representative Simpson, I have the NM80-1. Representative Simpson moves the NM80-1.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And the NM80-1 is a dairy investment grant program. And what it will do is it will have a grant qualifying up to $40,000. Starting expenditures at least $40,000, excuse me. And it will have a investment grant ceiling of in 08 of $300,000 and in 09 of $200,000. It will include for the acquisition of equipment and freestall barns, watering facilities, feed storage, milk parlors, robotic equipment, scales, milk storage, bulk tanks, manure pumping. And I think this is a good start in getting us towards keeping our dairy industry alive in Minnesota. We've had a lot of discussion on this over the last number of years, and this isn't exactly where we started out, but I do think that this is getting us on track, and it's getting us it's showing our dairy farmers that we want them out there and that we're willing to work with them and help them stay and upgrade their facilities and make these improvements to make them better facilities. So I'd appreciate it.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Simpson, for offering this amendment. And, you know, as we've worked on this for a number of years now, and hopefully with this grant program, we'll be able to demonstrate to the rest of the legislature that this is successful, and we'll be able to grow this program over time. The dairy industry is certainly important to the state of Minnesota. It has been the one animal agriculture sector that has been particularly hard struggling. So I've been happy to work with this Representative Simpson on this amendment.
Simpson's got it for the spreadsheet. It's blank.
Madam Chair.
It's eight. Three and two.
I think, Madam Chair, we're carrying money on the spreadsheet for this, I believe, so I don't believe it needs to be. Does the language need to be in those bill language, or is it adequate to be on the spreadsheet? This is a one-time.
In the one. In the sheet I have, apparently it's not written on yours. No. In fiscal year 208, we had 300,000. In fiscal year 209, we had 200,000.
Is that right?
That's
right.
It's
500. Yeah.
And that's what's on the spreadsheet.
300 and 200.
So it's blank on the back side of the amendment.
It's on page 2, line 2.6.
So, Mr. Mosh, what number should we put in there? $500,000, is that correct, Representative Simpson?
That is correct.
On the Simpson motion to adopt NM80-1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. I think we have a township aids. We have a, the township one is here. So why don't we get that done, and then Representative Markert will have your utility one.
That's okay.
No, I don't. It's a new one. We can share. You need one. I don't.
No, she didn't. Figure it out when we recess. Yeah, the new one. Ten and 11. Representative Markert moves the A25 amendment. Council, can you tell us what's in the A25 here? This is the township aid program plus a couple other little aid issues. Council? Oh, Ms. Dalton, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first part of this amendment down through line 125 is the formula for the new township LGA program. It will give money. This is the language that was worked out by the Senate with the townships, and it will give money based on the product of the ratio of ag to non-ag land, the number of acres in a township, and the square root of its population. It defines what those things are. Beginning on line 26 of page 1 is actually the appropriation language, not only for the townships, but also for the cities and counties as well. The city appropriation would be increased by $75 million in calendar year 2008. But $5 million of that would be one-time only money. If the legislature adopts a new formula proposed by the local government aid study group, that $5 million will be added to the limit after the new formula is adopted. For counties, there is an increase. Read the language. There's an increase of about $7.5 million a year in the first year for each of the two parts of the county aid. It goes up another $500,000 for aids payable in 2009, and then it goes back to the inflation factor under the old law for 2010 and future years. And finally, if you go to page 3, line 33, for towns, the aid payable under the new town LGA will be $5 million for pay 2008. And then it will be inflated beginning in 2009, again for the old inflation rate, which is the IPD, with a minimum of 2.5% and a maximum of 5%.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Any questions, members?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure I was understanding. The township aid is inflated. Is the county number inflated?
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the county number will grows a small amount between 2008 and 2009, and then it will be subject to the inflation factor beginning in 2010.
And then, Ms. Dalton, the LGA numbers, though, are not adjusted for, are not inflation adjusted, right?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is correct. It's $75 million in the first year, and then it drops down to just $70 million over current law in future years, unless there is a new formula adopted, and then it will go back up to the $75 million increase.
Thank you.
Those of you that have been following the LGA discussion, if this study group that we're creating here comes back with some recommendations and they're adopted, there is an additional $5 million in 10 and 11 that will be put into the LGA appropriation. Does everybody understand that? So, and the currently in the bill is 75 million in aid, 70 million in, or excuse me, 75 million in 9, 70 million in 10, 70 million in 11. And if the LGA study comes back and those recommendations are adopted by the legislature, there will be an additional $5 million in 10 and 11. Ms. Dalton, did I explain that correctly?
Mr. Chair, you are correct.
So those of you that are following LGA out there, if you can provide a good conclusion that this legislature can adopt, it will be worth your effort. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Ms. Dalton. Just to make sure that we're clear, this formula on page one, that is the formula that the township official that was here earlier today testified in support of?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? On the Markwart motion to adopt A25. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Tighten up foreign operating corporation.
All of us.
Oh,
Representative,
I'd love to move.
Senator Marty?
Senator Marty needs a good
Senator
motion.
Senator Marty
here.
Moves the A23 amendment. Now, Senator Marty, explain it.
Sure.
It's such a good idea, you're speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless. Not tough enough.
It's probably good. Michelle. Oh, there she is.
Ms. Allen?
Here I am.
On Senator Marty's motion to adopt the A23 amendment, tell us what's in here.
Mr. Chair, Section 1 replaces what it was in 2268 was a slight change. This goes back to the original Senate language, which is in the side-by-side, and it moves the effective date on line 31 so that it will begin in tax years 2008. In order to keep it consistent, all of the changes from 2006 to 2007 also reflect the subtractions and additions to the FOCs that are in the current Senate language so that all those will begin tax year 2008. On line 33, that changes the foreign royalty from 80% to 90%. On page 2, on page 2, this is a slight change from what was in the original Senate bill in relation to the apportionment formula for single sales factor. It speeds up slightly the phase in so that it leaves in 2008 and 2009, current law, and then increases in 2010 and fully phases in by 2011. At the bottom of the page, again, you have the change in effective date, as is this case on the top of page 3. Starting on page 3, line 3, this is a capital equipment exemption. This will make the capital equipment upfront for equipment related to the wood products industry. This was a governor's recommendation in his bill. And that goes all the way through page 5 and on to the very top of page 6. On page 6, starting on line 6, this relates to the sales tax study and joint legislative subcommittee language that was already adopted by the committee earlier today. This is the appropriation to the department for the study.
Thank you, Ms. Helms. Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair, and, you know, we should take a minute on this. It's a big deal. You know, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for everybody. It's a big deal for the governor. It's a big deal for the House. It's a big deal for the Senate. Everybody who's been working on the tax committee for a while in the tax area knows what a big deal this is. Seems like just a very little couple-page amendment. It's a significant progress in this area in Minnesota. I want to say it's been very difficult for everybody involved. I know the business community is finding it difficult to kind of work through these compromises. The governor has. The Senate has. The House has. The Speaker has. Senator Pogemiller has. Senator Bach and I, all the conferees. This has been a big compromise. And this is a beginning to address something we all need to address. There's a little honey with the medicine. We're moving towards some good tax policy on single sales and an FOC, and I think it's late, but we just need to take a minute that people need to really take 1 minute and appreciate how many years this has been in the making and how difficult this has been for all parties to get to this amendment that we're doing right now.
Madam Chair, I appreciate your comments, and I just want to make it clear. On page 2 of this amendment, by taking 1 year off of the phase-in on single sales, this amendment has a $33 million tax break for corporations in Minnesota. This is a big deal. So I just want to make that clear. That's what we're carrying on the spreadsheet, I believe, 33 and... How much money are we carrying for single sales to?
You're correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
And we are going to take out the business purpose language. We're going to have that in a later amendment. We understand. Actually, Miss, can we add it now? Can we amend the amendment?
Mr. Chair, it's already in the second unofficial engrossment. So to the extent, no, it's in there. So to the extent that you've adopted it, you don't need to adopt it again.
Section 5.
You delete section 5. Can you?
Haven't got it yet.
Senator Martin. To do that, we would have to delete section 5 if you want to move and incorporate that.
I'll incorporate that in, yes.
This is again part of the agreement.
Part of the compromise reached with the governor. And you know, the Senate didn't get everything they wanted here. We agreed to delay this foreign operating corporation language for a year, the governor's request. And it was pretty painful for this committee because by doing that, by delaying that FOC language, we had to take $119 million off of our spreadsheet. And that's what has been so painful about getting this spreadsheet put together the last couple of days, is it left a very large gaping hole in this bill. But I believe we're there. Commissioner?
That'd be one he wants to speak on.
You like to speak on the, any interest in speaking on the FOC provision and the
single sales,
taking a year off of the single sales phase in? And in here is
leading business.
Senator Marty moved to delete the economic substance language that was problematic for the governor. That's part of this. And I just want to make it clear, we certainly don't want to imply that that economic substance language, that if it had stayed in here, somehow we imply that it's okay for businesses. I better not say too much. We have pending legal suits, I think, that might make that language in here problematic, I think. So.
That's correct, Chairman.
Commissioner, any comment on the compromise here? Pretty big deal for the business community.
It is. And I really, more than anything, I appreciate the work on the chairs and coming to a reasonable compromise that everybody could live with. Appreciate the delayed effective date. I know that caused a lot of heartburn among many of us, and I had a relatively large revenue impact. But I think when we get the final package here, we got an issue we can put behind us. It's been a very contentious issue. We're all aware of that. And I think what we got here is good tax policy and a reasonable compromise.
On the Marty motion as orally amended to delete the economic substance language from the bill that had been previously been adopted. The A23 amendment as orally amended. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Do we have anything else?
Yeah. Can we do?
Representative Marquardt, something on utility?
No, we can do it.
That's all right, Mr. Chair.
One, two after him.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see if you would pass that, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair and members, what's coming around is what we've talked about. Mr. Hines had talked about earlier dealing with the revaluation and of the utilities, and what this basically does is for school levies and aids and county and city aids, it would eliminate the one-year lag so they would immediately see the loss of tax base. And I think this is a good compromise for those areas that will be losing some tax base used because of the department's reclassification. I would ask for your support.
So, Representative Marquardt, there's no cost to the utilities with this?
No, there'd be no cost.
This increases the city's potential aid.
That's correct.
Ms. Baker?
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, on the amendment you adopted on the utilities, we need to make a change on line 13 where it references taxes levied in 2007. That should say taxes payable in 2009 because I didn't realize at the time that we were going back to the Senate three-year phase-in. So that needs to be changed to payable in 2009.
Okay.
So we can do it at the same time.
Yeah. Yep, I will so incorporate that into my amendment.
So, Margaret, did your amendment, how do we describe your amendment for the tape? Do we put a number on it or? I think we'd describe it as section 10, lines 23.28 through 23.34, and sections 11, 24.3 to 24.10.
And Mr. Chair, that came out of House File 2362. It was the House tax bill. That's where that came out of.
On the Marquardt motion.
I mean, it's the same kind of adjustment you did for the Nolan, for the casino, is you backed it up.
For the Nolan and
Flores House. Yeah, it's exactly the same concept as you did for the casino.
Yeah. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Representative Lancheski.
Senator Mike, we took out the hockey tax,
Took out the ticket tax. Mm-hmm.
Ticket tax, okay, that's done. And can I just like to move, I think, I don't know that we need the language, it's all on the spreadsheet, I think this is easier. I want to move federal conformity for 07, tax year 07. And we're doing that with the June accelerated and the money on the bottom line. So, I think that we all went through this House File 8. We're just doing it for 2008. So unless we need something more than that for the tape, we can just take the motion. Is there any thoughts on that?
So for one, we are doing federal conformity for 1 year.
1 year. Tax year 2007.
And paying for it with about $6 million on the spreadsheet and a change in the June accelerated sales tax percentage.
That will be done in June of 9, so that you'll have a chance to repeal that next year. Right.
I think that covers it. That one's done.
Okay, very good.
I think we need any more.
On the Lancheski motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails.
Anything else?
We're still, I think we've got a couple things we're still working on.
She has one. Tom.
Senator Ma, before we get to it, Dalton tells me that we should probably adopt the one-year volatility delay in the LGA formula. Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, I believe that what you wanted to do, and a lot of the cities are interested in doing, is delaying that volatility fix where the money is based half on last year's factors, half on this year's factors, until we are back to a stable appropriation. It makes more sense to have it all go out under the new factors if you're putting a lot of new money into the formula.
So moved.
Senator Mark Ward's motion to delay the volatility factor in the LGA formula by 1 year. And this helps a number of suburban communities, I believe. Is that accurate? Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, it helps some of the suburban communities that are right on the and some regional centers that are right on the edge of the formula.
On the Mark Ward motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I have a amendment I'd like to offer on tax increment financing. Members, this is off of, we're amending House File 2268, the second engrossment, and we're taking it off of page 127 after line 13 and section 33. So, and it's for the City of Dayton, and what it does, what this will do is it'll allow the City of Dayton and the Town of Hasson to form a TIF district through a joint powers agreement, and it would be for economic development TIF. It's an 8-year district. Yeah, it exempts TIF from retail restrictions and from the green acre restrictions, and it must be used to pay for land acquisition, private improvements, and administrative costs. And it may not be used for cost of construction of an interchange. And I think this differs from legislation as introduced before we were going to use the TIF for the interchange, and this will not be used that way.
So this is not the Brockton interchange that the TIF is used to pay for.
Correct. Yeah. And Mr. Michael might be able to add something else to this conversation if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Michael, you got anything to add?
No, I think Representative. Basically, Mr. Chair, what this, the way this is different is rather than them using the tax increment for the constructing the interchange, it's to be used for other development, land acquisition, and private development.
Mr. Chair?
Representative
Devin. I'm trying to understand the special rules. I'm on, I guess, starting subdivision 3, the various exceptions, and given the technical language here, I'm wondering if either Representative Simpson or Mr. Michael or someone else could help me understand what exceptions are being made for this project.
I would ask Mr. Michael if he could give us these sections. I'm quite sure he has that knowledge a lot easier than I.
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, the first one is the finding requirement that it's for economic development districts, you have to make a finding that it increases tax base or jobs in the state. The next one is the restriction that applies to generally to economic development districts that they're required to be used for manufacturing, warehousing, research, and development. And this is a mixed use, a residential commercial development, so it would not qualify under that. The next over subdivision 5, I don't remember what that is off the top of my head. Clause 4 is the exemption from green acres. Clause 5 is not an exemption from current law or from general law, but rather the restrictions on what the increment may be used for. Clause 6, because this district overlaps two jurisdictions, it allows them to essentially do that.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I still don't see why we want to, if we're going to subsidize projects, why we're subsidizing retail. On top of that, why Green Acres Law was designed to keep land out of development, and here we're to remove its land that's coming out of Green Acres, and we're actually going to not just allow it develop, but we're going to subsidize it. This is about the worst kind of project.
I don't want to dodge this, and so I think it's most forthright of me to just state my opposition. Representative Pepin has worked very hard for this provision, and so I want her to hear somehow, which I'm sure she'll hear about later. I've talked to her about it. It's just bad policy. I wish it could be different, Representative Simpson. I do. The MnDOT testimony was very compelling about other folks getting bumped. And I just think next year is another year. My understanding is they were already looking to try to make some changes and maybe take the interchange out. I think that'd be very helpful.
This will take the interchange out.
I can't get there, so I don't want to quietly vote no. I've had a lot of members talk to me about this, and members are going to do whatever they want here, but I don't want her to think that I wouldn't address it directly. I never supported it in a TIF working group. I didn't support it in the committee, and as things went on, I continued to not be able to support it, and I just want to own up to that so that Representative Pepin knows my thoughts on it. So I appreciate that.
Senator Marty.
One more question. Why are we removing the findings requirements about going to create jobs? Why are we subsidizing this?
I don't have an answer for it.
On the Simpson motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no?
No.
The motion does not prevail. I believe we adopted some language directing the department to update the VOS data.
Yeah.
But I don't believe we talked about the department's request for an appropriation to do that. So I think we just need to make it clear that on the spreadsheet we're going to carry $200,000. Is that right?
Yes.
We're going to carry $200,000 in this biennium for the department to update that data. And Mr. Manson, it's not this committee's intent that you just redirect somebody currently on staff to do this work. It's our intent you actually employ a new FTE or two or whatever it requires to perform this work, because I believe the department's request was that you needed new FTEs to do this. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that is accurate. And it's also has ongoing costs, too, for the department to if you're going to do this on a yearly basis or not.
Yeah, we don't. Representative Lencheski and I talked about that, and we thought that the tax committee is willing to use our business or our target to get this data initially updated. but we thought in the out years that appropriation should be carried in the state government finance bill where the rest of your budget is. But we're willing to use budget target to get you started, get an FTE or two, whatever you need to get this data updated, but that in the next biennium, that appropriation should be carried by the state government finance committee. Senator Squay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair. And, you know, we would like to use this when we're conducting the LGA study group that's going to be working, and would hope to have this, you know, in good order so that we can move forward and not have delays in that study group also.
Just wanted to get that on the tape, members, so that we all know that because we didn't talk about what the appropriation might have to be to the department for that BOSS data, so that everybody knows that's what's on the spreadsheet. Madam Chair, do you have anything else right now? Otherwise, I thought we could take a...
Sir Moi has something.
Yeah. Excuse me, Sir Moi.
Let's try the technical...
No. Sir Moi.
I have the Moore Amendment, the RER 16 Amendment that we voted on earlier. This is the technical amendment that you had asked to make the language clear.
This is on the St. Paul sales tax on, is it on liquor?
Yeah. Food and beverage.
Food and beverage.
Yeah. You direct the staff to fix it. So I move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator moves the amendment to the RER 16 amendment that starts with page 1, line 4. Before is thought, insert notwithstanding Minnesota Statute Section 477A.016, then continuing down the page. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted.
No.
Senator Moi.
I have the 830 amendment. Mr. Chair, members, the 830 amendment is... we had a couple of projects on commuter rail, light rail language, and I believe that the commuter rail project was for North Star, and then light rail was for Hiawatha, and light rail for Central Corridor, and the other two projects cost money, but the Central Corridor project has a zero target. And we thought instead of coming back, we would put language in here because there's no target. We spoke with Commissioner Ines, and he said that that because this doesn't have a care of fiscal note, that we ought to put the language in. And so the commissioner and he checked, I believe, with the governor's office, and they're okay with this. I didn't mean to spring this on you, but we thought if they didn't have any money implications, if you could get us the language, we appreciate it.
Well, Madam Senator Moi and members, the effective date says for sales and purchases made after December 31, 2006. It would seem to me if there's no cost, it should be for, just to be sure, it should be for sales after... After FY11, just to make sure.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. That's fine, right?
Well, it can't be in. We have no room in our tails for anything. So Senator Moi, let's lay this over. Let's just lay this over. We're going to take a little recess here. Let's make sure we get it right. So because we have a spreadsheet with no money on it.
Right.
We just need to make sure let's just make sure it doesn't cost any money before we move forward. I think members, I think we're going to take a short recess.
Senator Bach, before you do that, can I just ask something here? So we don't have any ill will going on in this room, because we've had a great time and we've all worked well together. And I want to just, I don't know, did Senator Moi withdraw that for now, temporarily?
I withdraw. And Mr.
No,
Chair
and
Madam Chair, I didn't mean for this to cause any hard feelings.
It's not.
So if it's problematic, I mean, I'd like to talk about it, but I'll withdraw the amendment.
Senator Bach, well, and I appreciate that, but what I wanted to do is, can we go back and reconsider something just for a moment? Representative Carlson was trying to get recognized, and it's hard to hear.
It's passed.
And we've passed it now.
I wasn't appreciative of not being recognized.
Well,
it's a simple question.
Well,
I'll assume it's late. And
no, let's reconsider.
The opportunity. Madam Chair, it's passed.
We can move to reconsider it.
I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
We've made a mistake.
Just in the future, I would appreciate being recognized.
I'm sorry.
So we.
It's late, and I'll just assume that was the reason I was not recognized.
That's absolutely true. My apologies.
Oh, and
I didn't recognize him.
We appreciate that. So, we're going to go forward on this and then recess. It's just important, everyone. We're tired, and we all don't see each other. And you know what? Now that I'm going to talk really loud, I know that people who are around in the circle cannot hear us. People who are in the closer circle can kind of hear us. And our staff, MJ is saying no. Our staff, I was going to say, might sometimes hear us, and they're not. They really can't. We're not doing a good job of speaking into these microphones, so it's very difficult. So everyone's tired, but we've got to get all these things on the tape. So I just wanted to clear the air before someone got angry. We've all had those moments.
Senator Moy temporarily withdraws the 8:30, and I think we need to make sure if we're going to do this that there's not a cost, because there's no room on the spreadsheet. I got a little concerned when I saw on line 1.12 it was for purchases after December 31, 2006. So, Madam Chair, I'd like to recess for maybe 20 minutes or so, and people can stretch our legs a little bit. And if members, if you have something else, I think this is probably going to be our last run at it when we come back.
Is this current law?
Yeah.
This is current law.
We'll talk about it in recess.
So let's
check with Ms. Allen.
Let's take about a 20-minute break. Committee's in recess.
That's why there's no cost.
You did it.
Call the meeting back to order. Members, we have one last amendment, and then we'll have a couple motions to adopt all of the foregoing provisions that have been adopted. Council, what's the number?
A32 and an addendum.
Yeah. Okay. Not accomplished. The added sentence there.
What?
The deal was made in Larry's office.
What is it? I haven't seen it.
Not a surprise.
What page are you guys on? All right. Never seen it. That's the steel?
A little further.
Where? What line? Give me a line.
6-7.
6 and 7. 6, 6?
Yeah.
Well, not
that's
a surprise.
They were doing there.
No, I know. Just didn't know that.
Okay, I want you to could vote on this with me. After these guys put it in, I'm going to move. You might want to strike it all.
Does everybody have the A32 and then the written language that I'm going to incorporate? The chair moves the A32 amendment, and I'd like to incorporate the written amendment with three paragraphs. The first paragraph, adopt the house exemption for commuter rail cars, da-da-da-da-da-da. Bullet two, increase the historic credit grants from 400,000 to 3.073. And then bullet three, reduce city LGA from 75 to 70. And I'd like to incorporate that into the A32 amendment. And then, members, if I could go through the A32 amendment for you. Page one is a recomputation of Bloomington TIF at the mall.
This captures the added TIF.
At the mall.
Bloomington, yeah.
Captures the added TIF at the mall for both parts is what subdivision 3C on page one does. Subdivision 5 on page one is a reference to the fiscal disparities provisions in the amendment. And on line 2.18, there is some moving around of some tax increment financing parcels on the mall property. It's language that was requested by the city. That continues on to page 3. Page 4, page 5. And then on the bottom of page 5, you'll see that the use of these increments has to be used for infrastructure. And then there has to be a public hearing on the modification of the TIF and a unanimous vote of the city council. And there is on the top of page 6, relative to construction of the mall, says it has to have American-made steel to the extent possible, prohibits an auditorium, theater, or similar event venue that has a seating capacity in excess of 1,500 people, the no strike, no lockout PLA provision, a living wage provision that applies to employers of more than 50 employees. Senator Moy's amendment that was added in, that was amended into the original tax bill on affordable access. I believe the mall was all right with that. And then on the bottom of page 6, starting on line 6.25, we give the city of Bloomington some local tax imposition authority. And that relates to lodging taxes, admissions and recreation tax, food and beverage taxes. The lodging, I believe, is citywide. The admissions, recreation, food and beverage is on the mall property. And sales. Then the last provision in the amendment is a provision that provides for exactly how to explain it. There's going to be a large event in Minneapolis and St. Paul coming up in 2008, and this provides a loan. This provides a loan so that we can kind of, it's intended to be a loan to upfront some of those costs while the fundraising is going, prior to the fundraising that the money's raised.
Mr. Simpson, when you get to that point, can explain what the event is.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll recognize it. It's very difficult to explain. Members, on the A32 amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Representative
Mr. Chair, will you take any public testimony on this amendment?
Representative Devney, we have to get this to the revisers, or we're not going to get out of here. We're going to be causing a special session.
I would not intend to force a special session. I just thought there were a couple of entities in the room who might have comments, particularly on the subdivision 3C here on page 1 and related. So I'm just wondering if I could just ask a couple of folks in the room briefly their organization's position on this, since this would be a, I believe, $13 million property tax increase in the seven-county metro area. And I know that there are some organizations that have been very concerned about possible business tax increases.
Representative Devney, I'm very reluctant to open up public testimony. I mean, if we start doing that for people on one side of a provision in this bill, we're going to have to do it for people on the other side of a provision in this bill. And we just, the clock is really bumping up against us. The revisor's office wanted this bill before 1 o'clock. And we are maybe too late to get this done without a special session now already. So, members, on the A32 amendment as orally amended. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contrary, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Members, Representative Lucheski. Representative Lucheski.
Senator Bach, maybe Mr. Michael can help me. I want to make a motion now that that last amendment just went into the bill. And I guess we have to work off the amendment, though, to understand my motion, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
That's in the bill. And I want to work off the amendment. I want to delete all of page 1.
No?
No,
just this section and then.
Okay. Can I have Mr. Michael read my motion? Just to make clear.
These are cross references, and we.
Oh, I guess I don't need to do it. It's going to fail. My motion's going to fail. Can I just explain it orally?
Go ahead.
Okay, we don't need a. My motion, and just a word here, if I can. This is, you know, folks know this is really tough for a couple people at this table. First of all, I want to thank Senator Bach for being honest throughout the process. It's really important to me that people know that he has been completely honest throughout the process. It's been a long process. I want to thank Senator Larson, who has worked diligently to fight for Bloomington. I would like to delete them all. Minus the fiscal disparities, forgiveness, repayment. We're going to, Representative Larson and I are going to lose on this motion right now. We know that. But we need to do the right thing for our city. So we need a roll call vote for Representative Larson and I. Anybody wants to join us? Senator Marty might want to jump in. I don't know if it works for Senator Marty because we're deleting the fiscal disparities repayment. Senator Marty might want to join us on that. I don't know. Senator Larson and I think need to take a roll call vote here. Understand in our community where we are on this issue. And so if I could ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair, to just get this on the roll for Senator Larson and I.
I don't know if we have a vote.
Senator Moore?
Before we do that, Madam Chair, I too appreciate the struggle we've been through to get to this point. And you have been, you and Senator Larson have been handled this remarkably well, considering the fact that I don't think your city's always been supportive of you. And I think that's problematic, I think. You've been, I think, very, very out front fighting for your constituents in Bloomington and been put at odds against your own city council. And so I appreciate what you've been doing for the people that sent you here. But having said that, Madam Chair, I your amendment would gut my amendment that we recently adopted, so I have, with all respect, I have to speak against it. Clerk will call the roll.
Sarah
Ma. Pass.
Sarah
Scoy. No.
Black.
No.
Marty.
Aye.
Larson.
Pass.
Simpson.
No.
Carlson.
No.
Yes.
Aye.
Marquardt?
No.
Recall. Recall Larson and Moi, please.
Larson?
No.
Call me.
Call Moi first.
Call me
matter.
First.
No.
Senator Moi and Senator Larson vote yes.
No.
And
yes.
He voted no.
I voted no.
He needs that. He needs that.
The motion does not prevail. Members, I'm not 100% sure yet if this is going to be adopted into a conference committee report or if it's going to be drafted as an amendment to the public finance bill. We'll have to get a decision from the reviser's office on which is faster for them so that we can make sure we get this to the floor before our adjournment time tonight. So
on that point, if it's a wash in terms of time, there's expressing choice.
I guess I would probably defer to leadership to how the speaker and majority leader would like to handle it. I don't really have a preference. I think we get the same outcome. Representative Carlson, counsel tells me because of Senator Larson's runway study in here, we have a provision in the joint conference committee rules between the House and the Senate that if we're going to create any study groups, we are prohibited from doing that under the rules in a conference committee. So I think the position is going to probably have to, in order that we don't violate the rules,
it will have to be a bill.
It probably will have to be an amendment to the public finance bill. So, Senator Scoy moves that the committee recommends the adoption of the Delete Everything Amendment to House File 2268 that incorporates the second engrossment of House File 2268 as passed by the Senate and all amendments subsequently adopted by this committee. And probably the corresponding spreadsheet. Madam Chair?
This is
our last vote.
Take a minute. I'm sure you want to. Mr. Chair, just a minute. I want to thank every conferee, including Representative Dietrich, who you know, you wish you had her. You know, you wish you had a sixth conferee like her. She did a great job for us. That last amendment, we got North Star in there. And honestly, Representative Simpson, been the minority voice here and has done a great job. And all the House conferees have been an incredible help to the House and to the body. As of all the senators here, we appreciate it. Senator Bach, I know you join me. There is no way I can thank enough what this staff has done for us. Senate fiscal, Senate partisan and nonpartisan, House research, House fiscal, House DFL, Republican staff is here as well, and our pages who are still here, and everybody else has helped us, Revenue, Commissioner Ines, Senator Bach, you. It's been a good conference committee. It's been a pleasure to work with you and everybody here, and I just want to thank everyone here. So thanks for that.
little speech from me.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would like to echo Representative Lencheski's comments about our very, very exceptional staff that worked for the legislature. And thank you to all of you in the audience that have had to sit through days and days and days of this committee getting to know each other. I hope it wasn't too grueling for you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thoroughly have enjoyed getting to know that today, or yesterday, was Joanne Zoff's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And we've been here through birthdays and I think an anniversary, confirmation. Somebody had a confirmation, a graduation. A number of things have happened in the lives of conference committee members as we've worked our way through this process. And I want to, I know many of you, both out there and here, have taken a lot of time for your family to get through this process. And I want you to know I very much appreciate that. And I think we've got a pretty good bill. Commissioner, I'm hoping we have the governor's signature that we didn't go through all this for naught.
Before you finish, can you say that? Addendum to my speech. Can I jump in?
Before you finish yours.
I apologize. I want to tell everybody that House Fiscal, Catherine Schill, it is now her birthday. There's no way.
Madam Chair, just unlock the spreadsheet. Will be available to people where and when?
On the Senate website, and I would, if you want it to be out there before it goes to the floor, is that okay before the bill's on the floor, or do you want it to be right as it's on the floor?
No, I think it's fine to put it out as
it
is.
It should be out there within the hour long. I would ask.
And it's in balance?
Yes, we're in balance.
Balance?
On the SCOI motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Members, thank you. And I have one last little thing.
Oh.
Well, I have to have more than one little thing.
Oh, I have.
I have these very fine little refrigerator magnets. And I would like to make sure that all of the House conferees have one of these fine magnets. You don't have to put it on your refrigerator at home, but, you know, put it someplace, maybe on your refrigerator in your office or something, as a kind of a memento of this experience that we went through together. And
does it have to have a name?
It says State Senator Tom Buck, Chairman of the Tax Committee. Picture of the Capitol on here. So, Madam Chair, if you could distribute those to your conferees.
Can we get an autograph? Can we get an autograph?
Madam Chair, yours is autographed.
Yours is
the only one that's autographed, and it says, "Dear Ann, great working with you." Signed, King Tom.
King Tom.
Couple last things. Representative Lencheski, I wasn't sure if you were a fisherman, so I didn't bring one of these for you, but I think the other members of the House Conference Committee probably are. So you don't forget about me this summer when you're out fishing in your boats. Here's a little fishing ruler that you can put on your seat. You can put on the seat of your boat.
Says
and
his
one
name.
Last.
You didn't tell anybody that it says your name on it. You got to get that.
Wait, no. Center
box.
Don't forget about me. And then one last thing.
This will really be something here.
This.
We're going to need it now.
This is Ivory Soap. And it says on here that this is 99.4% pure. And I thought that if I gave all the conferees a bar of this to use this summer, that we might have a chance at coming back as pure as Representative Lencheski. Things like TIF, local sales taxes. You know, the rest of us, we're not quite as pure. So I think if we use this soap over the course of the interim, maybe we get a chance to come back just like you next year. But this, Representative Lencheski, probably won't get our members to where you are because it's only 99.4%. We won't get to 100%, but We have, I have a bar for each one of our conferees so that they have an opportunity to. Maybe there'll be no TIF in next year's tax bill.
Like before we get
I want to use that tonight.
Are using this ivory soap. Madam Chair, members, please take a bar of this pure soap before you leave.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Watt.
Senator Skoy and I have been keeping tally. Oh, yeah. Very interesting phenomenon. You know, I was wondering why we never had a sixth conferee. And in this tax conference committee, there's been one individual that has been, whose name has come up 30, 41, 2, 3, 44 times.
I know who that is.
44 times in this past conference. Who do you think it is, Mr. Chair?
I know.
Thank you. I'm at a loss.
Help us. I know who it is for sure.
Let's go down the line. You can't.
I've been helping to count. You and Senator Scott have been up to something, keeping score over there.
Oh, we're just keeping a tally. You can't. Representative Marquardt?
Representative Dietrich.
Madam Chair?
I think I know. I think more people should guess.
All right.
I think I know.
Representative Carlson?
I have no idea.
Representative Simpson?
I'll have to. They represent Dietrich.
Senator Larson?
All I say is I formerly served with him.
And Senator Marty?
And he may be a height challenged member of the House.
You asked Representative Hammond?
I knew.
Representative Rukavina. The sixth member of the Senate. Because he didn't come here to speak to the House members. Really.
Members, thank you all very much. Staff, thank you for all your hard work. This committee is adjourned.